BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here's Thursday's podcast, another good Real or No Real with Greg James, possibly the worst ever contestant on The Chase. Tom, our seat filler, has been to the National Television Awards and completed his challenge. And Philip Schofield and Holly Willoughby are tired, emotional, but amazing on live TV. Craig David and Big Nasty when the bassline drops on BBC Radio 1.
That is a tune now, I've decided. Like before, I wasn't 100% sure about it, but now I properly love this song.
You're enjoying Craig David all over your... Ooh, again.
I've had such a good idea with it as well.
Go on.
Do you remember, in fact, it was on Christmas Day, I recorded my girlfriend's nan singing Shaggy, It Wasn't Me.
Oh, Joyce.
Nana Joyce.
Nana Joyce, yeah.
I've been looking for another song. Since then, that would work. What are you saying? Shall I make it happen?
Oh, can you please?
Craig David and Big Nasty. I need to get a karaoke version of it and then we'll be on.
What, are you going to get her to do the Olivia Joyce?
Yeah, like, the way we did it with Shaggy, it just needs to be very simple so that when I point, she says the right thing.
Yeah.
So I guess it'll be all over your...
Yeah.
Or that, she can make the sound effect.
That's that would also be good. Here she is at Christmas time doing Shaggy.
But she caught me on the counter.
It wasn't me.
She threw me on the sofa.
It wasn't me.
Even let her in the shower.
It wasn't me.
She even caught me on camera. Saw the marks on my shoulder.
Wasn't me.
This one there, Joyce.
It wasn't me.
Her screams getting louder.
It wasn't me.
She took my dinner on the sofa.
It is all in the point there, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then she arrives right on cue.
She asks about it all the time. She always wants to know how many people have liked the video on Instagram.
How many views have I got?
BBC Radio 1.
One. Amazing.
She's like a celebrity. She loves playing bingo.
What?
Right, she's a proper... She loves bingo, and she tells everyone when she goes to the bingo about it wasn't me.
Oh, I thought you meant she loves innuendo bingo.
Oh, no, she doesn't... Well, maybe. I mean, that might be, if the next video does as well, what she does next.
On that note, as well, a few people are like, where's Innuendo Bingo gone? Getting a few tweets and texts about it. Don't worry, I've not forgotten about Innuendo Bingo. We're just going to give it a little bit of a rest for a while.
Is this like the hiatus that One Direction have?
It's exactly that. It is like the 1D hiatus.
So do we start it again when One Direction join up again?
Well, I mean, like... If people want One Direction to come back, I'm sure they will. And it's the same with Innuendo Bingo.
But like just... that.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Well, the NTAs looked fun last night, the National Television Awards, didn't they?
Very good.
Very, very good. And obviously there are some casualties, some people feeling a bit tired and emotional.
Well, that's bound to happen. Obviously, everyone very excited about the awards that they've won. You know, you see the passion on stage with some of them when they win that award. It means a lot to them, doesn't it? So naturally, you're going to go and celebrate.
Now, I heard Emma Willis talking about Holly Willoughby this morning on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show with Nick Grimshaw and what she was doing last night. So I was interested to see what the opening of this morning would be like today. Now, you know what it's like with this morning? You hear that iconic music and whatever happens, you know you're going to get two solid, experienced... professional presenters on that sofa, ready to give it to you.
Good morning. Well, look.
Oh, good morning.
Another NTA.
Thank you so much. We blame you entirely for what is about to happen.
Listen to Holly's voice in a sec.
Only apologise because we're not actually right. We shouldn't be here. We shouldn't be doing this.
Phil said to me this morning, he went, This is the worst
I've ever been.
They're actually on live television there.
This is the worst I've ever been. It is the odd bits of slurring there. I mean, they're obviously very tired. It was a late night.
I just think they're tired. Now, the conversation moves on to what Holly was wearing. Now, both of them, I need to say, were wearing on TV this morning what they wore last night to the NTAs. Now... Did that actually happen, or do you think they just went home, put the same clothes on and pretended? No, I think no.
Yeah, it's a good point, that, though, because you'd think they'd have some other clothes there, dirty stop-outs.
I know, just to be like, let's just make people think that we just, like, stayed in the same clothes. They actually went home and put the same clothes on again. I don't know. Anyway, Holly's dress.
The newspapers, I should say, when you're holding that up, it's covering up mint sauce on your dress. And you think, why would you have mint sauce?
Can I just show you? So this is my lovely, lovely dress. Loved my dress. White was obviously a bit dodgy. Can you see the yellow stains and all sorts of stuff? Now, before you jump to any conclusions where these mysterious yellow stains might have come from, I can tell those, in fact, mustard and piccalilli.
Yeah, because...
How did that get there?
Well, we went to... It's a tradition. We go back to Ant's house,
yes.
And we all... I mean, they... Well done to Ant and Dec.
Eating sausage rolls this morning. And
they're just speaking words now.
It's nonsense.
It's absolute nonsense.
To celebrate. And he had the brilliant idea of bringing out Pie Face, the game...
Did you get it for Christmas? Isn't it great?
It's just a stream of consciousness, isn't it?
What I love is that, like, a select few go to Ant and Dec's party, where basically your entry pass has to be you've won an NTA, otherwise you're not coming in. And they must be so convinced they're going to win again that they actually organise a party beforehand. I'd like to hear now Phil and Holly's final thoughts before they get into the main bit of the show. Solid, professional people. And at least they don't keep mentioning that they're not at their best today.
Oh, man. We're in a proper mess.
I mean, really, I can only apologise what's about to happen, but thank you so much for making this happen. It really does mean the absolute world. And we celebrated on behalf of each and every one of
you. Okay, so neither of us should be on the telly today,
no.
So we're joined by some other winners.
I love them. BBC
Radio 1. Daily.
Good afternoon, Liam, who just texted to say, are you going to have the guy who was a seat filler on today? When? He's going to be on next, actually. His name's Tom. They have people to sit in the seats of famous types at award ceremonies when they go to the loo so that the seats don't look empty. So Beyonce goes to the loo, someone sits in her place. Tom, our listener, was one at the NTAs last night. We'll speak to him next.
This is
BBC
Radio 1.
Scott Mills here, and here he is. It's our seat filler, listener Tom.
Hi, Scott.
How are you feeling?
I'm good, thanks. Are you?
Yeah. Better or worse than Holly Willoughby?
A lot better, because I can imagine that this morning didn't go very well. I bet she was hungover for this morning.
Do you think?
Yeah, that's, I can imagine.
That's kind of the barometer of everyone today, isn't it?
I do love her because when she goes out, she goes out.
She goes out.
Oh, I've seen her out before, and it's... it is. It's amazing to watch.
Mm.
Love her.
I know. I would love to go on an eye out with Holly.
She's a party girl.
Yeah.
So how was it last night when you were filling the seats for people that went to the loo at the NTAs?
Well, it was weird because I was queuing up to go in at the start, and then obviously Elder was all sat down. But for me, as soon as Downton Abbey went up to pick up their award, they just were out and gone. So I was sat in Downton Abbey cast seat for the whole thing, pretty much. As soon as they won, they went.
Oh, what? So they didn't come back?
No, they didn't come back.
Where do they go?
I don't know, but I was sat in Jeremy Swift's seat, who was in Downton Abbey, for the whole thing.
So you ended up just owning the seat?
Yeah. I've not even nicked the seat label that said his name on.
Cool.
Mine now.
Were you really worried that he was going to turn up at some point, though? It's a bit like when you go into a cinema, right? And you maybe go sit in the more expensive seats and you just wait for someone to turn up and kick you out.
Yeah, I was like, every time, because there was only taking the seats back in the ad break, so every single time there was an ad break, I was thinking, oh, am I going to lose my seat? Am I going to lose my seat? But then at one point, I was like, he's not coming back, clearly, because when Peter Kay won, he came back straight away, and I was like, it looks like Downton Abbey aren't coming back.
I wonder where they all went. I reckon they maybe went to the pub next door.
Yeah.
We've won now, we're off.
Yeah, it's like, that's it, over, gone, bye.
So we told you, if the camera does happen to go on you, we'll be able to identify you by you giving us a wink and a rub.
Yes.
Of your ear.
Yes.
Now, I've got to be honest, I didn't think you were going to achieve this on television, but...
No.
You did!
I did, yes. My cousin Rachel, she sent me the video and I was like, oh my God, I did it.
I'm so impressed with you.
Oh, thank you.
Me and Chris are going to put it on our personal Twitters now because this does need to be seen.
It is a good video.
So, look out, when Peter Kay gets up, you can see... our seat filler, Tom, rising to the challenge, and there's a wink, a little wink, and there's a rub of the ear, which is what we wanted, just a wink and a rub there.
It's over Peter Kay's right-hand shoulder. What I love as well is you proper cheer. It is like you're someone directly involved in the TV show. that he's winning an award for?
When you sat there, you feel, you just automatically feel that you're a part of it, and that you've just got to, you're there in the moment. You do feel like, oh, I'm at the NTAs, I'm winning an award.
So you feel like you did win?
Yeah, a little bit. It's like, yeah, because they celebrated, I celebrated with them. I was like, yes, we've won. Well, no, we haven't, but I have.
You do look like the next thing that you do is turn to the person to your left and sort of congratulate each other on a well-produced show.
Yeah, well, the people who I sat next to happened to go to my university as well, and I didn't know they were going, so I was like, oh. So I ended up sitting next to people I knew all the way through as well.
Well, hang on, are they seat fillers?
Yes, they were. Yeah.
Wow.
This is incredible.
You had a great night.
I did. It was amazing.
Who else did you see?
Well, I saw, as was queuing up, I saw the dog that won Britain's Got Talent just got back. So I was like,
nice.
I love the dog went.
Matisse.
Yeah, Matisse went. Rylan walked past. Sure. Jeremy Kyle, Fleur East, Anton Deck, Piers Morgan. Just kept going, walking past, backwards and forwards. I was just like, oh my God, that's so-and-so.
Did you feel like you were living in the actual television?
Yeah, because it was weird to see him in real life. So yeah. Like, yeah. It was just weird.
Did you see Mark Wright?
I didn't, sadly.
Your favourite.
I know, but somebody who said, oh my God, I've just seen Michelle Keegan. I was like, oh, lucky you.
He looked good, actually. He had a really nice jacket on.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures.
I was a big fan of that jacket. And glasses that he doesn't need to wear, which I quite like. Just fashion there.
Yeah, it was a really good look.
Being at the NTAs, it's a bit like leafing through a copy of TV Quick, isn't it?
Yeah, it was like, because as we were sat waiting, it was playing like all the theme tune music, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
It was just like, it feels like I'm watching telly, but I'm not.
It's like that TV magazine that your mum gets. It's like being in that.
Yeah, it was. I was like, yeah, it was just, I can't even explain how crazy it felt to be there.
I can tell you're so excited still.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm at university now, and I'm like, they're all like asking me questions, and like, I was like, it's just so exciting.
Mate, you're a beanock.
Do it again.
You're a massive beanock. Big name on campus. Did anyone try it on with you?
No.
Oh. And what's the question that people are most asking you at university today about last night?
So, quite a lot of people are asking me, did I see Holly Willoughby? And I was like, yes, I did.
I love that she's... I love that word spreads.
Yeah, they're all asking about Holly. But there is one thing that did happen to me that was quite... I was like, I was sat there when EastEnders won.
Yeah.
Jay from EastEnders, I don't know the actor's real name, but Jay from EastEnders had the same jacket on as me.
How did that make you feel?
Well, I felt like I was going to be in Heat with a Hoop of Horror kind of thing.
There's still time. Yeah. Have you seen Heat's Hoop of Horror today?
No, I haven't. Who is it?
Oh, we don't know. But
it could be
it
you.
Might be you.
It could be me. Oh, God, I hope not.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to be on the Hoop of Horror? Like,
I know. It's
they can make a story
made
out of that.
Yeah.
Seat filler turns up with the same jacket as Jay from EastEnders. That's a story.
Yeah, I might go sell it to him.
Did you do the red carpet?
Well, I didn't do the red carpet. I got shoved through a back entrance.
Right. Through the kitchens, was it?
Yeah, we walked past the kitchens, actually.
Yeah. I'm always kitchen entrance.
Yeah, through the back, round the back.
Yeah.
The video is amazing. I don't want to say it's the best thing I've ever seen in 2016.
Don't use up your one pass.
It's not the best, probably, but it's really, 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 really good.
Yeah, somebody described it as me as, like, clapping like a seal.
Yeah, that's it. That's you.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Tom, I know that you're going to be applying to do this again, aren't you?
Of course I will. I'm fine.
And this is just an easy way of getting great stories from you.
Oh, God, yeah.
Make sure you apply for some more.
Yeah, I will do. As soon as I get the email through, I'll send it off.
Right, we'll speak to you soon then.
Okay, Scott.
Good work on last night.
Thank you.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Do you know, I'm still getting so many messages about my new bridge.
Do you love it?
I love it so.
It is just a prime example of something that's escalated.
It is. And just, I want to say thank you again for sorting this out for me. So if you haven't heard the news, the connecting bridge between north and southbound on the M3 at Fleet Services is now called the Scott Mills Bridge. I'm getting people every day, like every minute of the day, just like saying, I'm just going under the bridge, sending me pictures. Like Adam from Dorset's just been actually walking on it.
It's given it a whole new lease of life. Now, it's, I mean, what are the rules with this? Are you responsible for what goes on in the bridge now? Is your name above the doors?
I don't know. Like Mitch has been on saying, I just drove under your bridge at Fleet Services and I have to say it looks a little bit tatty around the edges. Are you now accountable for the upkeep of it? I don't know, actually.
I'm pleased you're happy with it. It's all because I want your legacy to live on.
Yeah.
And we decided that we could get as many things named after you, then that would help that. So people got right involved. They were naming their cars after you. They were naming meeting rooms at their places of work after you.
One guy named his house after me.
It's really cool. And now we've got a situation where the gap between one side of the services and the other side of the services, two very different areas, are linked. And that linking part is the Scott Mills Bridge.
I was getting messages from girls who live in Leeds last night, sending me photos, going, just Googling where the Scott Mills Bridge is so we can pay homage.
Is it true it pops up on Google now as well? I think it's Google Maps or something. It'll be one of those ones. You go in on the bridge, it now says the Scott Mills Bridge.
I can confirm that is true,
I mean,
yes.
That's wicked.
Actually happened last night.
How do you feel about it? Do you feel a responsibility?
I feel great about it. And it's been such a good reaction. Let us know, by the way, if you are like going under the bridge at any point, maybe just take a picture. I'm really enjoying all of the love on the social
media. Yeah, maybe you're just enjoying being on the bridge.
I am. I'm just like, who'd have thought? Just me, a boy from Eastleigh in Hampshire, would get to have the connecting bridge between north and southbound on Fleet Services on the M3.
The gap between the north and south.
It's great. It's so great. And I believe that they're putting a plaque up, and that's going to be next week sometime. So, and I've asked them, it will be permanent. There's not really any chance that they can move it anytime soon. So my legacy will live on.
Can I sort the wording on the plaque? Yes, I'll do that.
I'd rather you didn't.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
I know a lot of people are doing revising at the moment, so this will speak to a lot of you if you are a student. Yasmin's been on. So she lives in a student house at uni, right?
Mm.
And for some reason, and she doesn't know why, she's really fussy about butter. Like, she just doesn't buy the cheap stuff. It's the one thing that she'll spend money on. Do you know what I mean?
What do you mean the expenses? You mean the salted?
But, yeah, she'll just buy good quality butter, okay? But she lives in a shared house. It drives her mad when other people use it. You must have had this from doing shared houses at uni.
Yeah, right? I used to borrow everyone's stuff.
I can... Also, you would totally be that person and be like, "Oi!"
There was a girl in our house who on the bottle of milk, because it was plastic, she'd draw a line on it.
Yeah.
In permanent pens.
Yes.
To kind of prove a point.
People,
I think,
like
it was,
because
she was never able to catch anyone.
Why are you nicking other people's stuff?
They used to have a go at me all the time. Also, I was really bad at washing up. So what would happen is about once a month, because all the plates are piled up in my room. Once a month, we'd run out of plates in the kitchen. So I'd then have to take them all down. And it was like the worst walk of shame, because I'd have to walk down with all of these plates and I'd get judged.
With mould on and that. You must have been a nightmare to live with. Yes.
But also, no one really stole my food. But then I didn't really splash out on one expensive item, because for me, it was the sort of... you could get 13p fish fingers from Wasda's.
Yes.
And... Do you remember that mince meal I made for you once with the pellets?
Yes, with what?
Straight from frozen.
That's not even food.
I know, it's mad. Like, I look back on that.
Anything, like, you're going to eat something that are called pellets.
But that is incredible progress, because now I am a ridiculously good chef.
Well, things have changed. Do you still have all the plates in your room?
It wasn't that long ago that it was the straight from frozen mutton...
mutton pellet.
Pellets.
Two words together.
Because they were cheap, right?
Oh. Anyway, Yasmin, she's fine with people taking her bread and milk, but for some reason, stay away from my butter. It's her thing, right? Today, she's decided she's had enough. Today is the day. She's taken her butter up to her room, which is probably as cold as the fridge right now anyway. But she's like, is this a weird thing to do? Could you ask your listeners, am I the only butter freak? It is quite weird. And also, that's going to cause you problems when it gets warmer again next week.
It's just tricky when you live with someone like that, because they've got nice butter there. And generally, the housemate rules are you kind of look after each other a little bit. You know, you generally share toilet roll. You don't each go up with your own toilet roll. Although I used to have to do that as well, actually. Oh. But then you get judged. If you have a little stash of toilet rolls in your room, you also get judged.
Yes, you do. How many plates did you have? I run out after a week, says Craig from Suffolk.
It's a really tricky game to play.
Once a month, you've got all the plates. Anyway, Yasmin, it's a bit weird, but I do get it.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Okay, this is horrible. In Southampton, in their old student house, this is John in Reading, they used to use the bath for washing up, bok wash style.
Oh, that's genius. That's a life hack right there. Think
so you put all the washing up in the bath.
Yeah, empty the washing up liquid, and then I guess you just use a big hockey stick or something to sort of stir it around.
Okay, well, that's good then.
I mean, that is brilliant. That's why people who listen to this show are just... because they can that kind of thing can change your life.
Putting the cups and saucers and plates in the bath.
It's just a new way of thinking.
I mean, it is a bulk wash, isn't it? I like it. There's loads of people on. Get the butter on the window ledge in your room. Maybe tie a little rope to it in case the wind takes it over.
That's genius.
David in Brighton.
And Will here produces the show. I can't get over this, Scott. You can buy a little mini fridge that you plug into your laptop.
Yeah, it's like a USB fridge.
How amazing is that?
You could put all sorts of butter in there. Your normal butter, your funny butter.
Everything.
The one that was pitched to Deborah Meaden the other week. What if... It's got like a small can of Coke in it. Would a butter fit in there?
I think so, yeah. If it's the posh butter, yeah.
Right, okay. Well, there we are, Yasmin. There's your answer. They're not that much money. Butter freak.
One.
Hey, Radio 1's playlists are amazing at the moment on the BBC iPlayer radio app. You've got a Years and Years one on there, picking their favourite songs. Ellie Goulding's playlist, which is for running. My Shower Oakie playlist, which includes Live and La Vida Loca. Why would you not want to have that one in the shower? And Danny Howard's party mix. Get this app in your life. Go to your app store and search for BBC iPlayer radio app.
The Scott Mills Daily.
I got some more tunes to help your Thursday speed along if you're at work or maybe secretly listening at work. I like the secret listeners. Let me know if you are. Cheeky little text or tweet will be fine. Maybe you're secret listening at college or uni at the moment. One Direction coming up and Rihanna and Kanye West and Paul McCartney. And this is new Shift Key.
Remember when you had me? Wrapped around your fingers.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Liam in Doncaster's secret listening through his headphones to drown out the drone that is his colleague's. Sophie is secret listening at work. Only one other person knows in the office, and that's Mitchell.
Excuse me, can I please talk to you for a minute?
But he's sworn to secrecy. I'm a secret listener in the company BMW. I've taken it out for the first time as a task. Loving the power, says Melissa in Southport. But you're in a car on your own, so that's not really secret listening. But Hannah in Cambridge is on, secret listening at work, getting all the looks when I laugh at your show, and also I've got hiccups, so I sound extra special. Thanks for getting me through the week. Yes, someone's just been promoted and now they're the boss, so no longer a secret listener. They can listen with pride, and the Radio 1 is up in full...
Well,
like,
I mean,
full volume.
I guess that's the aim with everyone secret listening right now. One day you will be the boss.
Yeah.
And the power will be yours.
You can do whatever you want. So do you remember when Chloe Moretz came in on our show a while back? Like, definitely one of the coolest people we've met.
Mm.
She's been in like something like 40 films and she's 18. And she was the one that was saying that she loves the bargain stores that we have in the UK.
Yeah.
We don't really have them as much in America. And then she came in on the show and said that. And then that day, she was spotted in the shop that rhymes with WK Max, like having like a little spending spree. She was on Breakfast with Grimmy this morning, talking about her new movie, The Fifth Wave. And you know how Grimmy is generally obsessed with singing on his show at the moment? I think that's what happens if you if you're on X Factor and then it finishes. You just need the singing back in your life.
He's definitely going through a phase of it.
Yeah, it leaves a hole, I think. Well, he's done it again, but this time he convinced Chloe Moretz this morning to join in, and here they are doing Paramore, who she loves. It's not amazing. If you love Chloe Moretz, the whole thing is on the Radio 1 homepage, and it's right there. Click on the picture of Grimmy and Chloe.
Do you know what? Whilst you're there, so go on the Radio 1 website, just click on the massive picture of Grimmy and Chloe.
Into you.
As well as this classic. There's also this thing, Scott, you'll love this, and it's It's basically what other Hollywood stars were doing aged 18 years old.
Oh, so right.
It's fascinating.
To compare with her life.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Because it makes you think. I mean, what was I doing at age 18 when I was Chloe Moretz's age? I was in Kavos.
A lot.
That was probably the highlight of my 18th year. I think it was Kavos. But you can see what, say, Morgan Freeman was up to. Jennifer Lawrence. Will Smith.
Jennifer Lawrence surely was in Twilight when she was 18, right?
Jennifer Lawrence was already a Hollywood actor. Her first film, Garden Party, came out when she was 17.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so she was in Hollywood already.
And also, there's a picture there of Jennifer Lawrence and Chloe. So Chloe would have been 11 years old.
That's insane.
It's really strange to see.
She's really cool. Click on the massive picture of Grimmie and Chloe on the Radio 1 homepage. Hear them jamming a bit to Paramore and find out loads of good stuff about them as well. Here's Meghan Trainor.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1.
This is Scott Mills. Sometimes I know you'll hit a mid-afternoon slump, so I like to throw in some misinformation just to see if you pick up on it. Of course, the one that we just did there, Jennifer Lawrence was not in Twilight. She was in Hunger Games. Well done to the people that spotted that. Aaron in Ipswich, Caroline and Laura on the way to Norwich.
I've been wearing these clothes on my back since I grew old.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
If you've missed any of the show so far, we've had Tom, our seat filler at the NTAs on. He had a brilliant night by all accounts. Met loads of famouses. And the whole lot from Downton Abbey went up to collect their award and didn't come back. So he had a seat like three rows from the front all night at the NTAs and didn't even have to move. He was right behind Peter Kay and like next to Graham Norton.
It's so cool, isn't it? Imagine you had that opportunity.
If you don't know what a seat filler is, basically, so it doesn't look empty on TV when people go to the loo, when famouses go. As soon as someone, let's say Philip Schofield, needs to go for a loo break, puts his hand up, they let him go, and then the seat filler comes in to fill the seat so that when you see it on TV, it doesn't look empty. Even though when Dermot was walking around last night, I did see a couple of empty seats.
Yeah, and also, if Philip Schofield... Well, I guess the idea is Philip Schofield then comes back, you give up your seat and you fill in the seat for someone else, right?
Yeah, you get out and then you wait for the next person to go to the loo and do the same thing.
But he was saying that the cast never came back.
Yeah, they didn't. Once they won, they didn't come back to their seat. So we're just in the same seat all night, which is an ideal situation.
But then what if the seat filler needs the toilet?
I didn't think of that. Do they have to put their hand up as well?
I guess so.
I don't even know. We also talked more about my bridge, which I've got. Don't know whether you've noticed this, but it's at Fleet Services on the M3 in Hampshire. It's in the gap between north and southbound.
It's a linking passage between sides of the
and
M3.
We replayed some choice bits of the early beginning of this morning with Philip Schofield and Holly Willoughby, because they were tired and emotional this morning.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Are you ready for another Hugh Stevens discovery?
Oh, yes, this is good. I can write this down and then tell everyone I discovered them.
Yeah. Chris revealed earlier this week that he will listen to Hugh's immense and diverse music knowledge and then pass it off as his own information to his friends in the pub. And as a result, Chris's mates now think that he is some kind of reliable fountain of new band and artist knowledge.
Like the oracle of new music.
Yeah, the oracle of new music. And when I look at you, I think oracle of new music. But that's what your friends think now.
That's what I'm doing now.
Yeah, I get you. So, this is a band from Leeds. You need to tell them about them. Write down Dancing Years. Dancing
cool.
Years. Tell them they're going to be massive.
Nobody taught me how to kiss.
The Scott Mills Daily.
The band are well excited about their play today on Radio 1. Lots of people loving it. That's Dancing Years, Learn to Kiss.
You know, recently it all kicked off on Twitter over Come Dine With Me.
Yes.
And the world's sorest loser.
Peter,
who went proper in. He was hosting the final day and he basically lost. And then he kicked everyone out of his house because he was quite bitter about it.
He really couldn't believe that he'd lost, could he?
Jane, take your money and get off my property.
Amazing man. I mean, in my eyes, he's a bit of a legend now.
I do like sore losers or people that just aren't very good on these shows.
Yeah, well, it all went off a couple of days ago on Twitter. I had loads of messages from people saying, if you love to come dine with me, you should check out The Chase from a couple of days ago, because there's a contestant on there who's had a mare. You know, like the stress dreams you have if you went on one of those quiz shows?
Yes.
And you fear that you might not be able to do very well on them?
Well, funny enough, I had one of those just slightly before I went on The Chase, which is going to be on soon on ATV.
Yeah, you've recorded your episode of The Chase, haven't you?
Yeah, I think it's on pretty soon. Just to warn everybody, it doesn't go that well at the beginning.
But at the beginning?
At the beginning.
But did it go as badly as the contestant from a couple of days ago? So I couldn't believe some of the stuff I was seeing on Twitter, so I thought I'd watch it back. And it is one of those great TV moments.
Oh, I do love The Chase.
So, one of the contestants on The Chase is a girl called Hannah. Now, on paper, she seems like she's going to do really well because she studies French and Italian at Bath University. You know, good uni. Hmm. And quite hard courses to do. So you must think there's already quite a high level of education there.
And I bet Bradley talked about this in his small talk that they do before they get to the game, right?
Yeah, of course. Her. So Bradley knew that she was studying French and Italian. She's going to be really good at it. So asked her some basic French.
Say to me, hello, Brad. It's a pleasure being on The Chase. In French.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Sorry. I can't do the end of it.
OK. What about in Italian?
Ciao.
That's it.
OK.
She studies those languages.
So she's got bonjour and she's got ciao.
The other contestants there are sort of looking on, laughing a little bit, as if to go, oh, she's probably nervous, you know, genuine mistakes. But also, this game show does test your general knowledge, and if you're not even good at the subjects that you're meant to be really good at, alarm bells start to ring.
Yeah, I'm concerned now. What happens next?
So it comes to the round, you know, the first round in The Chase, where you've got to answer as many questions right as possible to see how much cash you're going to bring to the table.
Yeah, this wasn't my favourite on the day.
You know the key to this game? Just get a couple right, because you're always going to be able to accept a higher offer or a lower offer, but you're always going to be able to accept money. You just need to get one right.
Graham Chapman played Brian Cohen in what Monty Python film?
Pass.
Life of Brian. What part of a guitar neck is also a word meaning to worry?
I'll pass.
Fret.
See, that first round is tough because it's just you on your own. And there's a spotlight on you and it's just you and Bradley. She's passing a lot, but it is hard.
But when you're watching, you're thinking to yourself, do you know what? It's all right to pass on a couple of them. That's bound to happen. You just need to get one or two right.
Yeah, to get the money up, yeah.
But when you're watching this, you start to get really nervous when she can't even answer this question.
The Attenboroughosaurus dinosaur was named in honour of which TV naturalist?
Attenborough. Oh, pass.
David Attenborough.
Oh, no!
I'm thinking to myself, oh, no, come on. No. Please don't go to zero.
The Attenboroughosaurus dinosaur was named in honour of which TV naturalist?
Come on. Come on.
Attenborough. Oh, pass.
David Attenborough.
Oh. She even said it and then passed.
So she got nothing right in that round?
She got nothing right in that round, no. A new one for me when watching The Chase, because I was interested to see how The Chaser then deals with it. In this case, The Chaser was the Dart Destroyer.
Love.
So I was interested to know what the lower offer would be, because you've brought nothing to the table. So you're either going to stick with zero.
Zero, yeah.
Then The Chaser offers to move you one step closer, so basically to give you an advantage. In this case, they offered minus -1,000.
Oh.
So basically, if you manage to get back to the team and you pick that, you'd actually be taking £1,000 off them. I've never seen this happen on The Chase before.
I don't think I've seen this.
The higher offer, I should say, was like 20 grand or 40 grand or something like that. But she was never going to go for that because she'd had a mare in the first round. So anyway, she decides to go for minus -1,000. Okay?
Okay.
To try and get back, because obviously they want as many people there in the final round.
Yeah, that's important.
But for the first time ever, from what I've seen, she would be bringing back less money. She'd actually be taking money away from the final pot on the team. Tactically, it's a new one for The Chase.
Oh, bless.
So none of this is looking good for her, Scott.
It's not, is it?
She's had a mare. She's mucked up her intro. She hasn't even really performed that well up until that point.
Oh, no. How does she get on, though?
You won't believe this. She actually ended up walking away with money.
How?
Because in the next round, she somehow, even though she took minus 1,000, managed to get back to the team, and the team actually beat the chaser in the final round.
I can't believe that.
So this lady here has actually come away with money from the show.
From knowing really not much.
So some people have been talking on Twitter about how she's the worst contestant ever. But fair play to her, right?
She got money.
But she did manage to annoy possibly one of the nicest presenters in the world.
Mild-mannered TV's Bradley Walsh.
Yeah. Hear this when he started getting a tiny bit annoyed.
Oh no, does he turn?
A little bit.
Oh, can I be honest, Hannah?
Yeah.
You don't know an awful lot, do you?
No, today's not my day.
You worry me, Hannah. Do your parents know you're out?
I think what this shows you, though, Scott, is it doesn't really matter how bad you are at the actual game on the chase. You can still come away with money. And so you probably will have done all right on this show.
Mm-hmm. You'll just have to wait and watch, won't you, really?
Because I can't imagine you were very good at the questions.
Rude!
No, but I'm interested to know if you had as much of a mare as that.
Well, you have to. It'll be on soon, you can see it. How did they leave things at the end of the show, by the way?
Oh, it was all quite nice, really. Bradley Walsh did his normal goodbye, mm-hmm. but sort of with a nod to Hannah.
If you think you could beat a chaser, come and have a go if you think you're clever enough. From myself and Hannah, arrivederci. And au revoir.
A special goodbye there for Hannah, the student who's at Bath Uni studying French and Italian but didn't know how to say hello in either.
Yeah. Do you reckon she understood what that meant?
Absolutely not.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Good afternoon, Greg James.
Good afternoon. Nice to see you all sober. How is everybody?
And you. Well, nice to see you sober after the NTAs last night. Were you there? You were there. You were on the stage, weren't you?
Yes, I don't really believe that it happened, but I gave out an award, and the dog from Britain's Got Talent brought me the envelope.
When I heard that Matisse was going to be there, I was like, oh, surely it's got to be Greg, and it was.
The moment you said, "Am I dreaming?" and to that moment, because it was amazing, because it's like a massive stage, and then in the background there was, I can't remember if it said. Did it just have the word comedy?
It just had the word comedy.
And then, I was like, this is pressure.
Yeah.
Comedy. And then you're still on this stage, and then the dog turned out. It's not really a plot spoiler if I say it, but then the dog didn't start acting right.
No.
Well, we rehearsed it during the day. And during rehearsal, it was it's a wonderful dog. It's a very well-behaved dog. But obviously, it's a dog, so there's going to be moments where it doesn't understand that it's live TV, doesn't understand that this is the NTAs and all the rest of it.
Yeah. Did the dog do the rehearsal and then be like, yeah, I'm cool with this, we'll just...
Need to rehearse this, guys.
Yeah, pretty much. And then during the actual show, needed a bit of encouragement, and then he just lost interest.
Yeah.
Just got bored.
When you step out on the stage and you see all those people, like... Because that was massive.
It is so ridiculous when you look down and you see... I saw Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
Graham Norton in the front row.
Judging you.
This is... And then you see Peter Kay and you got all... And you just think, this is ridiculous. Stupid.
And I've got a massive sign behind me that says comedy.
So cool.
And then a dog runs off of the envelope and I'm trying to give out the nominations.
I would have been... Like, when they said to me, oh yeah, by the way, you're going to do it with the dog from Britain's Got Talent, it's like, that is risky.
I thought you were brilliant. Up until the point, actually, my girlfriend's mum, I was watching it with her and she goes, he's too hot.
Oh.
And I was like, this has just changed what I was enjoying the situation. Suddenly it became really uncomfortable.
All right, Kaza.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Calm down.
Oh, well, send my best.
We're all hot.
Send
you know what I mean?
Send my best. Matisse didn't think so. he'd gone off into the wings.
Yes. Did Matisse have a drink after as well?
Yeah, Matisse was on it. He's got his own after party. He's
right
like Pitbull.
On it. Okay, here's today's Real or No Real.
The letters on an optician's test board are actually famous lines from Shakespeare plays written backwards.
We're talking this week about how going to the opticians is the nearest you can get to someone without actually kissing them. You do get close. And I was inviting people that got off with their opticians or dentists. Very poor show on that. No one wanted to admit it, but I know you're out there.
It's tough, isn't it?
I was saying, I don't know if you do this as well, Greg, that when you're in the opticians, and I mean, I haven't done this for years, but you would read off the letters, you can see the big ones generally, and then the idea is at some point you won't be able to see them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's how they test your
sight. So I guess the last few. It becomes like a challenge.
It's a game.
Yeah, it's really weird. So I'll be like, you?
It's good, it makes it into a little game.
Then,
No, but like, if you can't see them, be honest, because then otherwise you're not getting the right test results for your eyes, are you?
Well, no, that's true.
He's like, I've got to win this. I'm going to guess.
But it does pass the time of day. Do you normally win the game?
20/20 vision, mate.
20/20. All right, Top Gun.
All right, lads.
Top Gun. So this is a good cheat then for this game, if this is true, because you can just reel off Shakespeare backwards.
Yeah, so they're famous lines from Shakespeare plays, but written backwards. So anyone could now work this out, maybe, next time you have to go.
No, this isn't real.
Why?
It's just letters. It's not famous speeches broken up and then no way.
No.
Famous lines. Can we name any between us?
In
to
between
be or
us?
Not to be. No, between us.
Sorry.
To be or not to be.
He has a weird way of saying things sometimes. You can't understand him.
Out damn spot.
Jason Derulo.
Is that one?
Yeah, that's Lady Macbeth and she's trying to get the blood off her hands.
Well, I'm getting confused between Shakespeare and pop here.
What do you mean?
You just said Jason Derulo.
Oh. It's because you can't say it right.
Oh, yeah.
Act the innocent flower, but be the serpent under it.
Yeah, but you do acting, don't you? Mm. You do drama and stuff.
Well, I did. I have studied drama.
So is this real, Chris?
I can read.
I think this is no real.
No way.
That one is no real.
Completely made up. They actually used the Snellen eye chart, which was developed by Herman Snellen?
David Snellen.
No. Herman Snellen.
He wasn't he on Fame Academy? No. David Snellen.
Herman Snellen in the 1860s, if you must know. And next.
People who hog the sofa are more likely to have better social lives.
Definitely.
Why definitely? Because hogging the sofa would suggest that you're kicking everyone out, you're making everyone else angry.
No, I think people who socialise properly know the opposite really well as well. They know how to really go for it, but then also know exactly what to do when they don't want to do anything.
Oh,
I think
okay.
If you're really good at going out, you're also brilliant at doing nothing.
In.
I think so. If you're just one of these people that's busy all the time and meeting people all the time, then you'll have a day where you'll just go, right, phone's off. Lock the doors, put the blinds down, I'm in.
And we'll be a massive sofa hogger as a result.
Mm.
Okay, what do you think about this, Chris, then? What do you think?
Well, I'm just trying to work out the real or no real. Is it basically saying that the way you sit on a sofa determines how sociable you are?
That's what I'm taking from this, yes.
Maybe because you're like, you know, open posture, lounging around. If you're curled up in the corner, you're a recluse, maybe.
That's right. But if you've got your legs akimbo there.
Yeah.
And,
inviting.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, this. This is like when you have business meetings or an interview with, say, your boss, it's very important
to close your legs, yes.
You know, the signs you give out with your body. Your body, I can't remember what that's called.
Body language.
Body language.
Body language.
The language you give out with your body. What's that called?
Now, if you close up, if you kind of wrap up into a ball in front of your boss, it would suggest you've got stuff to hide.
Yeah.
So what the best advice I can give you is you just really need to open up. So you put your arms behind you, you really, because then it shows trust.
I mean, I've got some great body language. Your producer Roshan's his arms folded during this link. I mean, he hates it. He wants to get out of it.
That suggests frustration.
Frustration, panic.
He's lost interest.
All of the above.
It's an interesting thing to learn, though, because you can come across as a very different person if you know the skills.
Sofa hoggers have better social lives, real or no real, Greg?
Real.
No real.
That one is real.
By the way, some girls are thinking that Greg doing Shakespeare is also so hot.
No way.
Like
no
Hannah,
real.
Hannah on the bus, she's like, yes.
Hannah on the bus goes round and round.
Round and round, thinks you're hot. A study came out today analysing the way you sit on a sofa. Apparently, people who lie on the sofa are most likely to be single. And people who confidently sit in the centre of a sofa are likely to earn the most money. Sofa hoggers.
Hang on, but going around someone's house, sitting in the middle of the sofa on your own is weird.
Yeah.
That's definitely weird.
Too much confidence, that is.
Yeah.
That's because you've got too much money. And finally,
users of a swiping-based dating app have all been given a secret score by the makers of the app. It ranks how desirable you are.
Oh.
We're all being watched.
Yes.
So this is a bit like those taxi apps where you can leave a rating of the driver and the driver can also rate you.
Yeah, but you never get to find out your rating.
I didn't know about that and I asked one of them and he said, and it was quite low.
Mine was low. And I'm not. I'm generally good in taxis.
And I'm me too. And I always say 5 stars for you, sir. and I get out and do the five stars.
Yeah, but you've been doing your Shakespeare and nosing them off, haven't you?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Excuse me, would you mind if I ran a few lines past you?
Good use of nosing them off as well.
So what makes you desirable then? I guess that's the next question, isn't it?
Would you say that if you were on this, would you think yourself as desirable, Chris?
Well, I think this is flawed because you're always going to get a low score because the people rating you are generally going to be the people that have then decided they don't really want anything to do with you,
yes.
aren't they? Because
interesting.
Because they've met you. If they really rated you highly, they would obviously want to date you.
Mm, makes sense.
So, you
so
know,
really what you're saying is the best score you can get on this is by not being on it at all and getting married.
I'm saying it's like asking for references from an ex.
Yeah.
It's almost entirely going to be negative, isn't it?
What a great idea. Can you write me a can you write me
I've not
been reference my new girlfriend.
I've not been in
CV.
Touch for a while, but I'm going on Winder. Would you mind doing me a reference?
Can you do me a reference? You just let me know how good I was on holiday, yeah. how good we were in the bedroom, and I'll just forward it onto her.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's an app, isn't it?
That's a good idea, that.
A bit like a credit check almost yeah. on you.
It's like a CV from your ex. It's good.
Credit check.
Okay, so do you get a secret score on this swiping-based dating app?
Yeah.
The makers of the app have made it. Ranks how desirable you are.
I think so.
Real?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go real on this.
That one is real.
Whoa. So users of the app, that rhymes with Winder, have, well, they all have a score, but it's not just based on how many likes you get. And sadly for you, is not available publicly, but they're watching you and you do have a rating.
So if you're using Winder, then you get ranked.
You do, yes,
wow.
if you're lucky, yes.
Interesting.
At the end of that round of Real or No Real.
I got 20, Greg got 30.
Thank you.
Those are Thursday's best bits. We're back tomorrow from 1 on BBC Radio 1 for Friday.